Is Data a blessing or a curse? Brought to you by Adastra, this is a must-listen podcast that inspires and advises people who are serious about digitalization.
Agentic AI, the next latest technology frontier in the AI revolution that promises to open the door to productivity gains on a scale that we can only start to imagine. What does it mean? What does all this mean? Welcome to this Adastra podcast on agentic AI, where we'll dive into what it means, what agentic transformation looks like, and how to get started. My name is Mark Cahoot, and I lead the governance practice at Adastra North America. It's my pleasure to introduce my friend and guest, Kevin Harmer, Adastra's chief cloud officer. Kevin's a 30-year industry veteran and a 16-year veteran with Adastra, who's leading the agentic transformation charge with our customers. And I can tell you that customers really value Kevin's ability to tell this story and to sketch out what the future looks like. In addition to being a technology leader, Kevin enjoys power sports and is an avid, but right now slightly disappointed, Toronto Blue Jays supporter, or for now a Toronto
Blue Jays supporter. Yeah, always next year.
There's hope springs eternal, right, Kevin? Mm-hmm. And he joins me today in our Toronto studio to talk about and to tease apart the noise and hype of agentic AI. So, Kevin, welcome. Great to be here with you.
Great to be here, Mark. I love talking agents, so this is great.
Terrific. Well, why don't we start at the beginning and discuss really what is agentic AI? What's its promise? We have more than a decade of experience, right, with predictive models, machine learning, and more recently, you know, deterministic large language models. What does agentic AI bring to the table and why are organizations turning to it?
Yeah, the goal of agentic AI is to really free people from common and repetitive activities,
right,
to enable them to focus on higher value thinking, focus on collaboration, innovation, and really take on more important responsibilities within an organization.
Right.
If AI can do the 50 to 75% of work that people tends to be repetitive and not high value, if we allow AI and agents to automate that work, then it really unlocks people's potential to bring the best of themselves to their organization. So that's the opportunity for agents, right? Let's unlock people's potential by freeing them from the more mundane activities that just require light reasoning and inference to automate.
And devolve that to technology, to models.
Yeah.
So it's really about a redeployment of skills to be able to focus on different parts of your value chain, as I hear you.
Exactly. The way I think of it is, implementation of agentic transformation involves three horizons.
Okay.
The first horizon we call decision insights.
Yes.
So enabling insights around your data in your organization, unstructured data, data that could be in a video format, it could be images, it could be in documents, or it could be structured data in data lakes or data warehouses.
Just to stop you on that point, because I'm a governance guy, right? It strikes me that that's bringing to the fore the need to get things like SharePoints and documents under control in organizations.
Certainly, having well-organized data and curated data is very important to be able to power the correct insights as part of the Horizon 1 journey for agents.
I see.
But the idea is give agents, AI agents, access to those insights. So imagine you have history with a given customer. Through that history of interaction with the customer has certain products and certain product trends that they have engaged in. Maybe through surveys, they have indicated their satisfaction levels as it relates to those products. And then through your CRM system, they have identified maybe future purchases of products that they have expressed interest in. So let's use Horizon One agents to be able to get all that customer 360 view of that particular customer and their opinion and satisfaction and trends as it relates to your product. So we would call that a Horizon One agent. That's part of that three horizon journey.
And if I've heard you right, what we're really talking about is extracting the maximum that you can from well-prepared data.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, certainly there'll be different levels of quality of data available. So you can actually use agents to identify the best data that's available. So you don't have to have perfect data to use agents, but with a good approach and in a good agentic framework powered by sufficiently quality data, you will be able to get the insights that you need as part of Horizon One.
So let me guess, and that sets us up, that's the foundations probably for a second horizon, because a lot of the stuff that you're talking about is also what we're seeing with LLMs, right? The ability to do inferences and to generate within like a data discovery and data interpretation context, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly. So decision insight agent example would be ChatGPT on public data, right? So of course, organizations need their version of ChatGPT on their own private data that can securely enable insights based off their unique IP, their unique data. But ChatGPT would be an early example of a decision insight agent powered by public data.
Let's take your rocket ship now and go to the second horizon.
Yeah, horizon two. So now the idea is, okay, based off that history, let's recommend, and the insight, let's recommend an action. So horizon two would be a decision augmentation agent. Mm-hmm. This is something that uses the insights from horizon one to recommend an action. So in that understanding of the insight of customer, the action might be, here is the best cross-sell, upsell opportunity recommendation where we can improve revenue with the customer using an actioning agent. Because what the agent will do is it'll look at the history of all customers. It'll correlate the insights of this customer to the historical customers and identify based off that, where is your greatest path to success for improving revenue with this particular customer. So a lot of times, historically, this has been done through machine learning models, right? That's where you've seen a lot of these
deterministic
action recommendation type models. Yeah. So in this case, Horizon 2 is taking care, it's basically enabling an agent approach for what's traditionally been done through machine learning models to recommend the next best actions based off the insights. So we call that Horizon 2.
Can I just draw you out on that difference between if you're doing this with classical ML models, as opposed to doing it in the world of LLMs, probabilistic versus deterministic modeling? What changes, right? If you're saying that earlier we did that with ML models and now we're doing it with agents in LLMs.
It's the same thing. It's not an either or.
I see.
It's embedding the action recommendation out of the machine learning model as part of agent-based decisioning.
I see.
So certainly there are probabilistic action recommendations that come out of large language models. There are deterministic action recommendations that come out of machine learning models. But in both cases, you're in Horizon 2 and you're saying, hey, I need to recommend the best action based off of these insights.
Gotcha.
But the reality is, like, until you see agents deliver the insights you want out of Horizon 1, you're not going to trust any action recommendations in Horizon 2. You want to know that those actions are being powered by the right insights. So organizations who are undergoing agentic transformation, they don't start at Horizon 2. They start at Horizon 1, make sure that they can get the correct insights powered by large language models from their organizational data to then leverage that to identify the best decisions, best actions through Horizon 2.
I see. Okay.
Which then leads us to Horizon 3, which is decision automation or agentic transformation. So agentic transformation is realized in Horizon 3, where you then automate around the action that was recommended in Horizon 2. So for example, if Horizon 2 recommended the best cross-sell, upsell opportunity, now we want to automate automate around that. And so we will generate the best omni-channel communication to realize the revenue potential that was identified at Horizon 2. The thing about Horizon 3 is it's a big step doing that actioning for an individual customer to doing that action automation for millions of customers
at scale.
So at Horizon 3, we need to create automation for all customers, not just an individual customer. And so there needs to be an ability to still have a human in the loop, to still monitor the automation that is occurring at Horizon 3 across all of the customers. We have to evaluate the automation for efficacy and success, make sure that if there's not a high confidence around the automation, that we reach up and we pull in a person to get involved and review the action and approve the action. So you have to create products at Horizon 3. You have to create product experiences to be able to manage the automation across millions of customers effectively. And so you're not, when you get to Horizon 3, it's less about interacting with a ChatGPT like agent to get an individual customer answer or an individual customer recommendation. It is actually automating that across all your customers and creating a product to go with it that can help you manage and understand and get involved where necessary across that automation, across all those customers.
It sounds to me, Kevin, that as you move from horizon to horizon, you're also building, you have different needs on organizational readiness, right? And the ability to manage all of this, because you said a couple of words in there. One is trust, right?
Yeah.
So I would imagine that now if we talk to people using the results of automated decisioning, reviewing the results, well, there's a whole agenda of trustworthiness, risk management, to get our heads around. And I think that the underlying thing that we're adding with moving towards agentic transformation is the AI agents working with a degree of autonomy, basically, right? Managed autonomy, clearly, but autonomy.
Yeah, it's the only way you can go from personal productivity to agentic automation for the enterprise. Gotcha. So a good example would be, like in the Microsoft ecosystem, most people are familiar with Copilots.
Yes.
And so Copilots are personal productivity tools that allow you through your Microsoft suite to go in and create something, generate something, summarize something.
Research something, yeah.
So an example might be a standard operating procedure. We might use a Copilot to create a standard operating procedure for performing maintenance on equipment. Now, that's a personal productivity outcome to create one SOP. Now, if I wanted to create an enterprise SOP generator that could take inputs from many different sources, maybe document sources, picture sources, videos where people with the most tribal knowledge describe how to maintain the equipment, and you want to be able to have anyone in the organization upload any of that content with a variety of types to generate an SOP for their need. That is an enterprise level solution that a tool like Copilot by itself doesn't do. You need to bring in some more capability and horsepower to move from individual productivity agents to enterprise agentic automation.
And this is where I bring in the dreaded G word of governance, right? AI governance, because we're talking about risk, we're talking about business resilience, we're talking about use of personal information, sensitive information, etc. I would think. So it strikes me that there's two different worlds, right? There's personal productivity, and I bet you that, you tell me if I'm right or wrong, but I'd bet you dollars to donuts that the vast majority of organizations out there right now taking first steps with AI start with personal productivity, right? Yeah. Let people use Copilot to do their individual work.
That's
but
true.
Then it's the question of institutionalization, which is all a question of controls around these kinds of systems, transparency, explainability, documentation, making sure that outcomes aren't biased or introducing risk into business processes and things like that.
Yeah, that's true. We think of successful agentic transformation as being a three-step process. Mm-hmm. The first step is what we call the agentic strategy step.
Right.
Where are the best opportunities? Where are people spending their time and effort? Do the necessary process mining to understand where agentic
opportunities.
Yeah, the best opportunities for bringing agentic transformation. So that's the strategy step. Mm-hmm. The second step is then to prove it, right? So you come up with a calculation. We have one customer who pays 50,000 invoices a year by enabling agentic automation with the appropriate human approval steps. It's not about replacing people. It's just about doing the manual steps and automating those with reasoning and inference to have a final approval gate that's part of the process and an audited and ability to review. But anyway, we were able to save 4 hours of effort per paid invoice for this customer by agentically automating invoice payment when you look at the entire journey of approvals and systems involved in that process. You multiply that by 50,000 invoices a year, that's 200,000 hours effort saved. That would be an example of a high propensity use case to act on as part of your agent strategy, something you would do early because of the significant benefit that you would get from it. And so we look at all the potential opportunities from a business value versus confidence of outcome, reasonable of effort as part of the strategy step, identify from the 500 could-do ideas, what are the 5 go-dos, the things that you should start with, and then we prove it. We engage and prove it as we go do that.
Yeah.
In parallel to doing it, the third step is to implement an agentic framework.
Right.
Because you need to be able to maybe do some initial Horizon 1 things that become the building blocks for Horizon 2. You need to do Horizon 2 things that become part of the Horizon 3 agentic automation. You need to create reusable, trustworthy system of record agents that can empower the same activity, same task consistently. For example, your sales team might need a know your customer agent to understand a customer before you sell to them. Your marketing team may need a similar KYC agent before they market to a customer. Let's create one system of record KYC agent that can be used as part of your agentic automation to enable sales processes and marketing processes to that customer. And so what we want to do is we want to create an agent framework with an agent catalog with system of record trustworthy agents that are reusable and become enterprise assets. We want to do this in a way that is secure, governed, monitors itself, improves itself over time, eliminates bias, maintains data security in your organization. So that third step is about implementing an agent framework.
Understood. So that takes care of my governance and risk management concerns.
Exactly.
I think one of the interesting things that we're seeing with governing AI is that it's much less a paper exercise and it's much more about implementation in tools.
Yeah.
Very tool specific, right? We have very powerful platforms that embed various governance controls. And I think really the challenge there is not so much about thinking up the framework abstractly, because we have guides out there. We have ISO 42001. We have NISQ risk management frameworks, which tell us pretty much what needs to be governed. We don't need to recreate those. The trick is making them work within the tools kind of thing, an actual deployment. Very pragmatic, actually.
Yeah, that's true. Like as you establish an agent framework, you can use the DNA from data governance frameworks and other frameworks.
Right.
A lot of that DNA is common as you establish those frameworks.
Decision-making structures and processes and intakes and so on.
Yeah, maybe just one more quick example, because I think it's quite innovative on the three horizon approach and how we're able to apply it.
I was going to say, because we're talking theory, what have you seen out there in terms of where companies actually are at? And are they, you know, hitting hurdles when they're trying to move from one of the horizons to the next and so on?
Yeah, I would say most customers are dabbling at horizon one. They're trying to create decision support agents that can get the right insights and make those insights easy for their team. So for example, rather than having a rabbit farm of Power BI dashboards, they can use agents to just get the insight they need when they need it by asking a question, right?
Right.
Now, some organizations have struggled with accuracy. They have hallucinations. They don't get the correct meaning. So we have a prescriptive approach that brings in business context, that makes sure that the agents are well cataloged and purposed, and become part of an agent of agent solution that improves accuracy. And through this agent of age methodology, you can take your 80% success insights from agents and turn them into, you know, 99% plus successful insights from agents. So an example where we've done this is in the revenue cycle management space, where we have worked with RCM vendors who are middlemen between health providers and health insurers.
Okay.
So if I'm a hospital and I provide health services, you know, rather than chasing payment from 250 health insurers, I will work with a RCM provider and the provider will ensure I get paid. The cycle of tasks to enable that used to be handled by one of our RCM providers by a team of 500 people. So manually, they would take handwritten notes or a voice note from a doctor. They would transcribe it, fit it into a clinical note template, update the hospital's practice management system about the clinical visit. They would figure out the optimal insurance codes for that, update the insurance codes in the hospital's PMS system, initiate the claim with the claim insurer. As insurers often do, if they push back on the claim, we have to look at the reason for the pushback. Is there missing data? Is there something the agent can do to solve this through automation? Or do we need to involve a human to solve the claim pushback? Resolve the pushback, age the claim, get the hospital paid. The benefit to this RCM provider of moving from this 500 person manually executed journey to an agent framework of 100 agents that automate all the steps of the journey, is they're able to do that work instead of with a team of what we call 500 people bosses. They're able to do the equivalent work with a team of 50 agent bosses.
Agentic workforce.
That's right. An agentic workforce. And so this allows them to reduce the cost of their service. This enables their hospital customers to get paid in weeks instead of months, and then really differentiates their service offering in the market. Now, the reality is most organizations are not going, the agent transformation doesn't mean doing the work of 500 people with 50 people.
Yeah.
It's not that extreme normally. But what it is about is with your same team. It's not about replacing people. It's about empowering people to be focused on innovation and higher level thinking when the automation takes care of the manual and lower value activities.
Yeah. Interesting. I have two questions for you before we close. Let me start with one, and that is, we're talking a lot about the underlying technology. We're talking about transformation. There tend to be two other sides to this: people and processes. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about governance, which we think of a lot of process writers, but what does it mean, like in the organizations you've seen, what does it mean for the people dimension? Where does change management come into this in terms of really changing the business and the way it works? Is this something that you find means getting business and technology stakeholders together from the outset to drive this? Or is it a very technology driven and then the organization follows, if you know what I mean, kind of approach?
Agent transformation, like any analytics transformation, has to be addressed from the 4P perspective, people, process, policy, and platform.
You added a P. I'll take
yeah,
it.
There yeah. we go. The policy, that would be the governance side, the platform, the technology that supports it, and then, yeah, the people and process side. When you look at agentic transformation, it really is about process re-engineering.
Right.
And when you re-engineer a process, how does that impact the people that are involved in the process? And then how do you enact the change to what they do? One more example where we've done this. So we did a solution for a customer called Happier Trucks. And so the goal of Happier Trucks is, as part of their logistics planning for the next day, they would come up with a optimal distribution, a shipping plan for all their product delivery to all their customers in each region. And then they would find that there'd be about 20% empty space in each truck that they would end up shipping out. And then what they would do is, because it would take most of the day to come up with the plan, salespeople would then take 2 hours in each afternoon to proactively look at the route, see which customers happen to be on the same route, and see if they can't upsell to that customer additional product or cross-sell to another product to fill the truck more effectively and improve revenue. And that was a manual process, and it was effective at reducing the white space in each truck, say from 20% white space to 18% white space.
Compounded, now, that's huge, right?
Which helps. That's before agentic transformation. Now, with agentic transformation, what happens? The day before, the optimal plan for shipping and logistics is done through an agent, and it's calculated at 7 a.m., not 2 p.m., the previous day. And so now at 7 a.m., we know the best plan, and we don't rely on the tribal knowledge of local regional logistics experts to be able to come up with the best plan. The agent comes up with the best plan. Then we have a sales recommender agent, and the sales recommender will look at the route that each truck is traveling, look at the customers that are on that route, and identify the highest propensity cross-sell, upsell opportunities to act on to
almost
improve
real
the
time.
Success rate.
Yeah.
And then the salespeople have all day, not just 2 hours, to act on that information, right? And fill the truck. And so the net benefit is, instead of gaining a 2% benefit in reducing the white space in each truck, now we're getting a 10% plus benefit in reducing the white space in each truck. But it changes how people do things. The plan is ready at 7 a.m. instead of 2 p.m. The salesperson isn't just using tribal knowledge to figure out who to call. The agent is telling them who to call, what to tell them, and what product to position. And so you really have to to be successful with that agentic transformation, you have to enable the people and process adjustment as well.
Sounds like we're getting not just process efficiencies, but just a quantum leap in data-driven decision-making.
That's right. Enabled by agents. Yeah.
So how do I do that in my company, Kevin? To my last question to you, what would you advise business leaders in terms of getting started?
So I would say go back to those three steps I mentioned before. Step one is to identify the best opportunities for agentic transformation in your organization. You might do that from a horizontal multi-department perspective, or you might choose a champion department and use that champion department to prove the benefit of agentic transformation. What we as Adastra have is, we have an offer called an Agentic AI Day Workshop, mm-hmm. where we will come in and find those best opportunities in your organization through that department. What we do is we vision for them the art of the possible, get from them 200 ideas around how agents could help from a business value perspective, and then with our experience having done it, advise where your highest confidence of outcome, reasonable effort opportunities lie, to come up with from the 200 could do's to the 5 go do's. And then we give you a roadmap to go do it. And then from those, we like to choose a lighthouse use case. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that we prove the approach through as we engage with the organization.
So start small but meaningful and use that as the example to spread it around other business processes and parts of your business architecture, by the sounds of it.
Exactly. And sometimes we're not starting from scratch. An organization may have a great decision insight agents, maybe even some good Horizon 2 decision augmentation agents, and it's really about, okay, well, where, how can we now agentically automate processes and innovate around those processes with those existing things? So even if you're already started down this route, how can we get you to Horizon 3 as part of your strategy?
Kevin, as we've proven in the past, you and I can keep talking for hours, but maybe not everyone's on our time schedule. But with that, I'm going to bring us to a close for this podcast. Thank you very much for your time. I've learned a lot. I found it very insightful. And to our audience, thank you for joining this last installment of the Adastra podcast. If you've likewise found it interesting and insightful, please like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.